Amen. Look at verse 43. And he said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. I'd like for you to look at these important words. He said, servant speaking, he said, there is nothing. And he said, the prophet Elijah, go again. Would you reach your hands this way and pray for me and ask the Lord to help us? And he, the servant, said, there is nothing. And he, the prophet, said, go again. Amen. And as I promised Sister Laura May, I'm going to preach on a little bit of faith. Amen. She's always got this canny little thing that she wants to know what her pastor's going to preach on. And one of these nights, I'm going to tell her on her, but not tonight. This night's faith. Anybody got overabundance of faith? Anybody got too much of it and you like to give some of it away? How many feel like you need some more to make it? Well, I want to preach to you, if God will be my helper, on faith. Amen. Faith, according to the Bible, is substance and evidence. Hebrews 11:1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it also says the evidence of things not seen. Amen. We live in a day when we practice faith and evidence. We demand that God give us evidence before we put our faith to work. But the Bible doesn't tell us that God grants that we should always have evidence to hang our faith on. Sometimes we must have faith to hang evidence on. Amen. Some of us have got faith like Thomas, who said after reports of the risen Savior, who had received the word of eyewitnesses, he said in Luke 20:25, Thomas said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Amen. Thomas would have fit right nicely right here in this time. Amen. Amen. Thomas is just stating it. I'd like some evidence before I make my commitment. I'd like some evidence before I testify of his resurrection. That's why he said, I saw him on the cross. I know he's got nail prints. I saw him die. I know he has a side that has been written. All right. He said, I don't want a phony. I don't want no make-believe. I want the whole truth. And I know it when I see the prince in his hands. But that's not quite enough. When I put this finger in the print of that hand and put my hand in his side, I'll know it's him. That's faith that demands evidence. But can your faith hold out? Can your faith hold up when all the signs fail? When there's no sign, no evidence, can your faith hold up? You see, we're just dropping in on a historic day. Far has failed. God has vindicated his approval. The answer of a prayer to his prophet. He has turned a nation around. But you see, this prophet is peculiar in the fact that he's the only one in the whole kingdom that has the answer to the problem. Because God had told him, it will not rain until you call for it. Amen? So this man is unique in the fact that he has a promise. God has told him, it won't rain until you call for it. So, when this first started happening, people hated him. The drier it got, the more they hated this man. After year of a rainless, cloudless atmosphere, and the grass began to turn brown, and the brooks begin to dry up, and the cattle begin to low, they begin to take another thought and said, you know, he must have got that message from God. God must be in this. So they turned under the circumstances, and some of them turned to God wholeheartedly. Amen. For the Lord said he had 7,000 that had not bowed, not backslid, but still were living for him. Can you say amen? Some of them endured the punishment and the judgment of God. Others were slow in turning. They needed a sign. They had to have proof that God was in it. The promise of God was not enough. The rebuke of God was not enough. They said, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And the whole congregation said, it sounds good to us. Amen to that. Let's have the contest. The contest is over. Elijah's God is God. Now, Elijah must go up higher. Before he goes, did you notice that? Verse 41, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. He says this before he ever goes to pray, because he has a promise. There's a sound. There's a sound. How can you hear this? By faith. There's a sound that only my ears can hear. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. That's the difference between faith and reason. That's between faith and evidence. Ask Elijah where his evidence is. Yes, I don't have a bit. There's not a cloud in the sky. The sky is as brazen and as hot as it's ever been. I don't see a bit of evidence of rain. If he would have been like some of us, we would have turned on our little short band. We would have turned to the weather forecaster. We would have turned to the national weather to make sure that we got somebody who could at least be decent in their forecast. And we would have listened. And if the weather forecaster had said, no rain in sight today, tomorrow, for the next few days, no rain, we would have said, we don't need to have a prayer meeting now. Let's wait at least until there's a change in the weather. And then we might pray for rain. Elijah said, I don't have faith that goes with the weather. Amen? I wish you'd help me preach. Faith sometimes needs to be challenged. And it needs to be challenged by something that's completely contradictory to what we feel. Amen? Oh, I'm a preaching to folks that's going to be hard to preach to tonight. But that's all right. Amen? I understand how you feel. Because we live in a day when things are hard to deal with. We need things to happen right here in this church. But they're not going to happen as long as we pay attention to our circumstances. They're not going to happen as long as we're waiting for the ideal situation. Faith, it needs something to challenge it. Amen. And when faith is challenged, faith can arise. Amen. You see, this man of God's ears hear above the lowing of the cattle, the dry bushes rattling, the mourning of the people, the clamoring for something different. They hear above it all. These ears hear in a far distant country the sound that's coming of an abundance of rain. He knew the God that had said to him, it will not rain until you call for it, had kept his word up to that day. Had he not? Can you say amen to that? Had it rained? Had dew fallen upon Israel? No. God had kept his word to that day. He did not let it rain. It had not rained in a space of 3 years. Amen? Isn't God faithful? Some folks that read that don't read that into that. But God held the rain up. Here's a little man walking around down here that's keeping the rain. How's he keeping it? Because God said, I won't let it rain until you ask for it.
So there he is. He's got it locked up. God's holding it up because he's waiting on his man to ask. It's not going to rain. God is faithful. If Elijah don't ask for it now, it's not going to rain until he does. God's not going to break his word. You know the difference between us and our mamas and daddies? Our mamas and daddies depended on what God said. We depend on what we see. Amen. You see, there's a sound, Elijah said, of an abundance of rain. He goes up higher. He leaves Ahab down. He leaves the people down. He leaves everybody down. Him and a servant go up. They go up to pray. Now, can you picture this in your mind? Here he is. He's down on his knees. His head thrust down between his knees and he's praying. He's saying to the Lord, I wish it was written down. I wish that prayer had been written down like the one where he prayed the far down. I wish I'd know how to pray rain down like I knew how to pray far down. Amen. Amen. But he didn't tell us this time what he prayed. But he got down and he said to God, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I hear it, Lord. I know it's time for you to turn and rain righteousness upon the earth. I know it's time for rain. And I'm asking you, Lord, send the rain. Send the rain now. And he sends his servant. He doesn't get up. He's already heard it. He says to his servant, go up now. Look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. You would have thought Elijah got up and dusted off his knees and said, well, that's that. Right. That's that. No rain. You know, he didn't even get up. He just turned his head a little bit to the side and pulled it up out of his knees and said, go again. Go again. Right. I'm not through praying. Go again. You can see him going up the hill again. He comes back. That if he's like us, we would have walked to the top of the hill. We would have looked straight up and around. We would have said, nah, there's nothing here. Nothing today. Come back down. You know why? Because we always look for that which is closest to us. The immediate answer. The answer that's right now. We want to be able to reach up and grab it immediately and say, aha! I prayed that one through, didn't I? But Elijah, when the young man came back, that had looked around and saw no clouds. He looked up and seen nothing. And he come back and said, there's nothing, Elijah. Go again. Amen. The next time the young man went up, he'd look a little bit farther out. You know, he looked around and saw a little bit more, but not near enough. And he comes back and says it again. There's still nothing up there. Elijah says, go again. Go again. And he does this until the young man is feeling sorry for his master. He comes back and said, I hate to tell you this. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. You don't look like this is working. You prayed a lot of things through, but don't look like this prayer is going anywhere. I hate to tell you, there's nothing. He said, now go up again, and this time, look again. Sometimes it takes a while for a cloud to develop. Look again. See if you can see anything that looks like a cloud. And he goes back up and comes back down and said, nothing. I don't see nothing. So the seventh time he goes up, this time Elijah said, don't look so close. Don't look for a big cloud. Don't look for a gathering storm. Look for anything that looks like a cloud. You may have to look way out. You may have to look to where the sea and the sky meet. But when you look as far away as you can and see everything that you can see. And then you come back and tell me. So the young man this time climbs upon his highest perch. He looks out. He's scanned already up here. He scanned already around here. He's looked, but now he looks as far as he can on tiptoes, sheltering his face from the sun. He looks in a distance, and there he sees something, and he waits just a little bit, and he said, "That's just a small cloud." But the preacher said, "Just tell me, did you see anything? For six times you said nothing." And this time he comes down, he said, "I seen a cloud about the size of a man's hand. That's a cloud that's small. That's not right up here. No, sir, that's not right out here. That's way out there on the horizon." But he says, "Get up and go tell Ahab, you'd better get out of here, because God can take the small thing. Amen. It's a small vessel. It's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. But God can take a small thing and do mighty things with it." Hallelujah.
Praise God of heaven. I'm a feeling better. Amen. He said, "It's just the size of a man's hand." Elijah said, "Go tell Ahab, if you don't get out of here, your chariot's going to be stuck in the mud and you're going to end up walking home. You'd better get out of here and get home, because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain." Amen. And the Bible says, I like this, don't you? "And it came to pass at the seventh time," he said, "behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." He said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens was black with clouds. There come up one cloud the size of a man's hand, but all of a sudden the heaven is black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said hallelujah. Oh, praise His name. You see, we must understand what God is trying to do for us. And the first thing we need to do is, God has given us promises. Amen. Promises. The Lord for a time may not allow us to see signs, but He gave us promises. Which one would you rather have in a prayer meeting? A cloud or the promise? Amen. Elijah said, "I don't have to go look for that cloud. If you want evidence, you go look. I know I've already heard the sound of an abundance of rain. You go look. Any kind of a cloud is good enough for me. I don't care if it's the size of a man's hand. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how far it's off. I've already heard the sound of an abundance of rain." And he got up and he told him, "Boys, it's going to rain." And in the meanwhile, the storm hit. I like that. In the meanwhile, while they were getting up, while they were getting word to Ahab, the storm overtook them. I want you to know, my friend, when we get down to pray with the promise of God, when we get down to pray with the promise of God in our heart, we may have to stay for a little while, and we may not see the signs as we'd like to see them, but there's something that's greater than a cloud, and that's to have the Word of God in your heart. Can anybody here say amen? Oh, yeah. We must never get delay and denial confused. There's time when God delays, but delayeth not denial. He delayed the sound of the rain till this young man walked seven times to his perch, whether it was 50 yards or 100 yards or whatever it was. God delayed it. Why was God delaying? It wasn't a failure on God's part, and neither did Elijah take it as a denial. He merely said, "Go again. If you want to see evidence, go again." Amen. And the moment the cloud appeared in the skies, Elijah quit praying and went in. The sound turned into an abundance. What was a sound in his ears turned to a sound that everybody could hear. I wish you'd help me preach. Amen. Look at this. Some of us need this.
Just a little bit of faith. But what are we going to hang it on? We're going to put our faith in a sign, in a cloud overhead, or we're going to put it in a spoken promise that God's already given us? Which one are we going to have? Which one are we going to hang everything on? Are we going to hang it on the sign? Well, if the Lord be for us, you know, God will give us signs. Oh, come on now. You know that's not faith. God don't have to hang signs out to get His children to believe. He gave us His infallible Word. Amen. He gave us His promise. I would rather have, lo, I am with you always, than the star that guided the wise men. For after a while, the star went out, but Jesus still shines on my path and walks with me along life's way. Hallelujah! I'd rather have the promise, He shall supply all of your needs by His riches in glory, than have a bank account and tomorrow everything fall to pieces, house burned down, amen, all the money spent, and I'm left alone. I would rather have the promise of God, amen, than I would a material sign that God is with me. Somebody shout amen! Hallelujah. Now come up here and let me show you something else. Look at patient faith. Have you ever seen patient faith? Well, patient faith is the man who was blind, Brother Kim, and the Lord came along and said, he got down and got some dirt and mixed it up, and he couldn't see what the Lord was doing. All he heard was the rustling of the sand. And he said, if you don't mind, son, I'm going to do it a little different with you. And he takes it, take your glass off, he takes it, and smears it all over his eyes. And he takes and smears it all over him. And he said, now go! That's patient faith. Can you imagine now? He stumbles out of there blind. He can't see the directions. And the first man he meets, he said, what in the world happened to you? What is that on your face? And he said, well, I don't know if you're going to like this or not, but it's spittle and clay. Who in the world treated you that way? Well, I met Jesus, and Jesus said, if I would just go wash this off in the pool of Siloam, I would see. You know what most of us would have done? We'd meet that first doubter, that first scoffer, and we'd say, sir, if you'll just get me a pan of water, I'd like to look like you. And we'd go around the rest of our lives stumbling in blindness. Amen? The more he went, the more difficult it became, because folks kept noticing this guy stumbling down the road with spit and mud on his face. Amen? And he'd stop and said, I'm blind and I can't see. And he said, I noticed that. If you could see, you wouldn't have that mud on your face. But he said, sir, would you direct me? Am I close to the pool of Siloam? I'd like to talk to you about your belief. Are you one of those fanatics? You look like a fanatic to me. Only a fanatic would wear mud and spit on his face. But you fanatics are sort of funny like that, aren't you? Well, just go down this corner about four blocks and turn and you'll find the pool. So he went on and gets a little bit mixed up because he's blind. He comes up to the next guy, said, sir, I'm looking for the pool of Siloam. And the guy said, you're looking for what? To the pool of Siloam. What are you going to do? He said, I'm going to wash or I'm going to get my sight. He said, you're one of them faith practicers, aren't you? He practiced faith. I know a good doctor. He's got some good eye salve. That's helped a lot of folks. You'd be a lot better off if you'll go to the doctor and get that eye salve and put on your face. At least you'll have some respectability. Help me preach now. He said, sir, if you'll just excuse me, I've already got this appointment. I've already got this on my face. I've already been ridiculed. I've already been put to shame. And I'm so close to the pool. I think I'll just go on. Could you tell me how much further I've got to go? Hallelujah. Amen. He said, you're almost there. Just keep right on going. And he gets there. And some man leads him down the steps. And he bows his knee down. And he puts his faith down. Amen. And he puts that handful of water upon his face. And begins to wash the mud and the spittle off. And something happens to his eyes. As the water of faith, patient faith, enduring faith, amen, lifts that water up. That water washes dirt out. That water washes spittle out. That water washes blindness out. And he stands up and goes back unashamed that he's believed in a Savior that said, go and wash, and you shall come see. Oh, great God of heaven, help me preach. Woo! Patient faith is the kind of faith that said, I'll take the shame, I'll take the ridicule. I'll take what men say and I'll go and I'll do what he says do. Can anybody say amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Looky here. It said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came. He went his way. That's blindly, stumbling, embarrassed. His way. Therefore, and washed and came seeing. Woo! Great God of heaven, I wish I could get a bunch of bloodhounds that would fall on this trail, amen, and follow it to the master and could get a touch that will help you. Amen. I mean to tell you, my friend, faith is not something that's hard. Faith is not something that's out of our reach. Faith, amen, is what we everyone need. God's ways do not always burst clear upon our vision. Amen. It's entirely for our good that the cloud is not always to be seen the first time we scan the horizon for a sign. Sometimes we got to go again, and go again, and go again, and go again, and keep on going until you've got what you're gone for. Amen. Keep on walking. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Don't stop to talk to this one. Don't stop and debate that one. Faith is not debatable. Faith is believable. Come here now, and I'm just about done. Come here and look at a faith that cannot fail. Faith is an unknown feature about it. That it cannot fail. Cannot. Failure is not any part of faith. The temperature of faith is always the same, sign or no sign. Sign or no sign, faith is the same. Push on the back or no push on the back, faith is the same. Push through the crowd or no crowd at all, faith is the same. Faith says, do it. 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 Faith says, do it again. Faith says, if necessary, go again. Faith says, if necessary, go again. Keep on going because faith cannot fail. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Report comes in. There's nothing. That'd have been the end of most revivals, wouldn't it? Faith. The report comes in and says, nothing. You hear me? Nothing. Most folks would have said, that's it. That's the answer I've been looking for. God's not in this. See you later. But you know what the strange thing is about faith? Strange thing about faith is when unbelief comes back and says there is nothing, faith answers, there's God. That's enough. There's God. That's enough. Just hang everything on God. Just reach up as high as you can and hang everything on God. And I said, God, I've got your promise. I've got your promise. They may not be anything that I can see around me, but I've got your promise. I've hid it in my heart. I know it cannot fail. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. This preacher and his wife was praying and asking God for a burden. They said, Lord, burden us with somebody. The Lord did. An unsaved couple about 15 miles away from where they pastored. They decided that they would go every Saturday morning and visit this young couple. Amen. Every Saturday morning without fail they went. Sometimes it was pleasant, sometimes unpleasant, sometimes hospitable, sometimes hostile. But they went every Saturday morning without fail.
They'd done that for a whole year, and the last time they went, it was very uncomfortable. So they pulled over on the side of the road going back and said, Lord, should we continue this or should we not? And they felt, both of them, assured in their heart that going. The next Saturday morning found them there. They went a year and 6 months. One Saturday morning, after a year and 6 months, they were talking to the young woman as she ironed, talking to her about Jesus and her soul. And they saw a couple of tears break out of her eye. And the preacher said, "We've got them. We've got them." Amen. For 18 months, they fought the battle. Faith said, "Go back again." Faith said, "Go back again." Faith said, "Pray on." Faith said, "Go back again." Amen. That man or that woman got saved. Their family got saved. Their children got saved. And they said that church that that pastor was pastoring finally became built around that family. So many of them got saved. I wonder, my friend, if we've got the kind of faith that goes back again. And when our children, when we testify to them, said, "I don't want to hear that junk," if we just say, "I'm going to come back again." If our people said, "I don't want to go to church," we just keep coming back again. Are you going to help me preach? I'm preaching to you about a faith that said, "I don't care if I don't see a sign. I don't care if I don't see a wonder. I don't care if it don't thunder over my head. I know what God said." And the Bible said, if a man believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall be saved and his household. What more promise do we need? If we need something to hang on to, let us reach out our hand of faith, though it be a trembling hand of faith. Let us tell God, "I don't need a sign. I've got a promise from you. I'm going to hold on to your promise. I'm going to hold on to the power of God. I'm going to say I'm going to keep going back until I see my family saved. One by one or all at once, doesn't matter. The end result is faith." Amen. I said faith is the evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith seen, I'm saved. By faith hear the promise of God. By faith hear their praying. By faith believe they'll pray. And keep on going back. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling real good. You see, the Bible tells us this is our victory over the world. Where are your children? What has your children locked up in captivity? What has your husband locked up? What has your wife locked up? What has your people locked up? It's called love of this present world. The world is the enemy of most people. They're making money. They found a respectable church that don't spit and make clay and tell them they need to go. They got a church that doesn't preach faith. They got a church that doesn't preach getting in. They got a church that just lets them get off easy. And they like the respectableness of going to church. But you and me both know they're not saved. Amen. We need some faith that reaches up and gets a hold of God and said, "I want my boy changed. I want him saved." Amen. I said, "I want him saved." Glory to God. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Are you going to help me preach? Let me tell you something. We're struggling, and we know we are. The reason why we're struggling is because we are looking for a sign. We're looking for something that says they're ready to pray. You may never see it. You may never see it until the day that God answers prayer and gives you the promise. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Elijah went from this circumstances here. Did you notice that? He went from the sound of abundance of rain to the sound in his ear was the threat of Jezebel. The man of God fled, got clear out of the country, and you find him holed up in a mountain. Amen. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah went into his spiel about how he had been faithful, how he had fought the battle, how the other prophets had been killed, and he was here. Amen. Come on now. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts of the children of Israel. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slaying thy prophets with the sword, and I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, God said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what dost thou hear, Elijah? And he goes through the same thing. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way. It settled. How did it get settled? Well, let's see. What did God mean first by the earthquake? He was showing Elijah the fact that he had still not relinquished any power. He could still shake that mountain to pieces if he wanted to. But God was not in the mood to shake that mountain apart to show the prophet that he had not died. Amen. And then came a strong wind. And the strong wind just symbolized the God of the ability for God, if he wanted to take the breath of his nostril and split that mountain asunder or blow it into the sea. Amen. Amen. But God wasn't going to give him a sign like that to get him out of his cave. Amen. And the fire came and burnt rocks upon that mountain. Elijah seen the fire. But God didn't destroy the mountain. What was God trying to say? Elijah, if I wanted to, I could set this earth on fire. I could make rocks burn. You're not asking me too much. Amen. When you ask me to give you the ability to stand, you got to understand, son, I'm not going around shaking mountains to get you to be faithful. I'm not going around, amen, with a strong wind to get you to be faithful. I'm not going to send the fire down just to get you to be faithful. If you want to see me move, believe my word. Believe my word. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Out of that cave, he's got to go right back to where he had run from. This time his steps are determined. This time he has a goal. He's going to go do something for God, and God's going to do something for him. Let me tell you something. When he went down to end his life, you know how he ended it? He ended it with the promise of God. He picks up Elisha, and Elisha starts pouring water on his hand, walking behind him. And he's trailing along behind him, Brother Kim. And finally, he drills it into all the school of the prophet and Elijah and all. I'm going to be taken away. And the school of the prophet would come to Elijah and said, don't you know your master's going to be taken away today? He said, just hold your peace. It's already settled. Just hold your peace. It's already settled. The word of God has come to him. Just hold your peace. Him and arguing about this, discussing it theologically, ain't going to change a thing. He's on his way out. I know it and he knows it. Amen. There's only one concern in my heart. I've got to have a promise. I've got to have a promise. I know when he called me, he put that mantle on me. I know it. He flipped it on me. I've not been the same since. I gave up my farm. I gave up my oxen. I gave up my family. I've been following him. He said, there's only one thing I want. I just want a double portion of what he's got. Amen. Not his victory, not just his victories, not just his abilities, but that double portion of his faith in holding God to his word. Amen. So he walked across to the river, son. He watched that old prophet take that mantle off. Amen. Open that water up. He follows him across and looks down. Man, I ain't never done this before. Water on this side and no water on that side and rocks down through here. Amen. He said, I had never done this in my life. I had never seen nothing like this. You talk about a sign. Man, this is a sign. But this is not what I want. So the water falls in behind him. And he gets over on the other side and he said, he gets a hold of the prophet's coattail and he said, sir, before you take off, I got one thing I want to ask you. He said, what is it? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. Hallelujah. Whew! He said, it's a hard thing. Did you hear me? He said, it's a hard thing. But nevertheless, just continue on. Woo! Hey, amen. Don't look for no sign. Just continue on. We've got a date with God. We've got a destination we've got to feel. And Elijah walked on, and Elisha followed him, and all of a sudden there came a whirlwind that separated them, and a chariot from heaven stopped, and the old prophet got on board, and away went the cape, and away went the cloak, and away went the prophet, and all of a sudden this young man standing up, he sees everything that he want go out of his sight. Amen. And he said, oh God, the horsemen of Israel. Hallelujah. Woo! And all of a sudden, he was about to turn to a wall when out of the sky dropped an old mantle from an old prophet. And he picked it up. Amen. It didn't have a sign. All he had was a promise. If you see me when I go away, it's a hard thing to keep your eyes on me. There's going to be a whirlwind. There's going to be a chariot. But keep your eyes on me. Hallelujah. He may have had to walk a little piece to get his mantle. Hell, who knows? We don't know. He may have had to walk. He may have to watch it float down. But he got his eye on the mantle. He picked it up. He started back again. Hallelujah. And he walked back to the river. And he folded it up. And he smote it and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? You know where he was? Right there by his side. Glory to God. Faith don't need a sign. Faith believes God and His Word. Oh, hallelujah. Will you help me preach, Brother Jay? And he smote the waters. And the waters, which was out of his control, divided. You can see him put the mantle on, walk across the river to face the sons of the prophets. Said, now, amen, now, things are going to be different. God is with me. God is with me. And he had a lot to prove. He had to prove he could stand it, and he did. He had to prove that he could believe God, and he did. The mantle was not a magic potion. The mantle was the sign of the office of a prophet. But his faith must work the works of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. He'll raise the dead. Won't he do it? He'll feed. Amen. He'll multiply. He'll do the things that Elijah done. And he'll do them double. Glory to God. Oh, wonderful, blessed Jesus. Walk by my side. I don't need a star in the heavens. I don't need a cloud overhead. All I need to know is that you're by my side and I have your word. And that's good enough. Woo! Oh. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus said to his disciples, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He said to them, in whatever town you go, heal the sick. He didn't say start a tent meeting. He said heal the sick. Whenever you encounter the sick, heal the sick. Amen. Cast out devils. Preach this gospel. Amen. Come on now, church. Would you loosen up a little bit here? I'm trying to help you. Amen. He didn't tell you to avoid circumstances. And he didn't tell you to go out and look for circumstances. He told you, as you walk with me, whatever comes in your path, take care of it. Hallelujah. I am with you.
The Apostle Paul, Brother Dallas, on the stormiest night of his life. Amen. When they had been 14 days, wasn't it? And they couldn't see a star, and they couldn't see the sun, and they was about to lose the ship. Paul stood up in the middle of the storm and said, "The God whom I serve has stood by me this night, and He has told me not a soul will be lost." Woo! Glory to God, I'd like to be able to stand up on the stormiest night of my life. Amen. I'd be able to look up and say, "The God that I serve has stood beside me." Paul, did you see a break in the storm? No. Paul, did you see the ship being delivered by a miracle? No. The ship's going to be broken up in pieces. But I ask God to save every soul. And God said every soul's going to be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! He done it. Paul, are you asking for a sign? I don't need one. I have His Word. His Word told me. Is it going to get better after a while? No, it's going to get worse. Amen, it's going to get worse. How do you know we're going to be saved? I just got His Word. Amen, that's all I've got is just His Word. So they turn the ship loose. It drives to where two ways meet. And they begin to tear it apart. Amen, Paul said, "I don't care how you get to shore, men. If you can swim, jump. If you can't swim, get a piece of this broken ship. But jump out there in that raging sea." Admit that kind of faith is infectious. Every one of those men grabbed a piece or jumped in and headed for the shore. And when the count was taken on the shore, all counted for, sir. All accounted for, sir. Prisoners and all are accounted for, sir. I'd like to be able, when I go to heaven and God calls me to account for the souls of them that He's entrusted me with, I'd like to be able to go to the captain of my faith, the captain of my salvation, click my heels together and salute and say, "All the present that accounted for, sir, we've come through the storms of life. We've come through the battles of life. We've come through tribulation. All present that accounted for, sir." Whew! And this is our victory over the world, even our faith. What's going to bring them in? Faith. What's going to save them? Faith. What's going to make us victorious? Our faith. Where do we anchor our faith in a stormy time? God's immutability. His ability not to change. And when He says it, it's concreted with eternity's concrete, and nothing can move it. He has decreed it, and it shall be brought to pass. Woo! Monday I was praying for you, Sister Lee, and I felt all right. I didn't know how it come out until Janie gave me the report. I knew when I prayed. Amen. It wasn't as you feared. Hallelujah. Faith is still better. I said faith is still better than a sign. Amen. Come on now. Somebody shout amen for me. Faith is still better than a sign. If I could just see a sign from heaven. If God would just speak and let me know what's going on. Just hold steady on the boat, son. That boat is right in the eyes of God. That boat is right in the hands of God. He's just shaking it and rocking it and reeling it. But every soul that's on that boat has got the safe sign. Amen. Safe sign. You may spit some salt water. You may be tossed to and fro on your plank. But just hold on. You're going to the shore. If God has to send an angel down and paddle you to the shore Himself, He's gave Paul His Word that not a one will be lost. And I'll guarantee you may be going down for the third time, but miraculously you're going to end up on the shore. Can you say amen? Oh, I would to God He'd give me a precious promise. Amen, don't you? Somewhere in this Word, somewhere in this infallible Word, I'd like to hang everything I've got. Somewhere in this Word of God, I'd like to find Benny Sutherland. Somewhere I'd like to find a promise I could hang everything on and say, Lord, I am ready as Simon did. Amen. He said, oh, Lord, you spoke to me about seeing your salvation. And one day, Junior, he took the baby up in his arms. That wasn't much of a sign. How could a baby save the world? But Simon said, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to die now. I've seen your salvation. Woo! Glory to God. Well, I've got to quit. I've got to quit. Amen. Oh, glory to God. 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 Amen. Look at this word. This is mine. I underline this. Oh, I pray this often. Can I give you one of my secret weapons? This is one of my secret weapons that's worked for me. I've turned it on my unbelief. I've turned this one on my feelings. I've turned it on unsanctified feelings. I've turned this thing on. Amen. And turned it against the enemies of my soul. And I found it to be the buoyant Word of God that does not let me sink. Psalms 119 verse 49 says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Down on my knees I have said, Lord, remember you spoke the word to me and you caused hope to come into my heart. I believed you when you spoke it to me. I believed it. Now, Lord, you've caused me to hope. Verse 50 said, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Hallelujah. Has he ever spoke a word to you? Yes, many times. Many times. Has it worked? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. In my times, I have come back to say, Lord, remember it. I can't make that work. I can't make it come to pass. But all I can tell you is, all of my hope is resting on your word. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I read to you one time that prophecy that Brother Parks prophesied over me. Of course, you know, there's always discrepancies. Folks are going to say, ah, that could have just been. I could read you the other one that was spoken. We went down to Holy Hill, and they spoke one before the pageants ever come up here. A prophecy came out to me while I was preaching. I could take you back to the old hog pen in my first church, where there used to be three or four of us together and pray, and the Holy Ghost had spoke so many precious and wonderful things. I could tell you of a past that a preacher's climbed the ladder to what he is today, not because I saw a sign, not because I had somebody pushing me, not because I had somebody backing me, but God had gave me His Word. God had gave me His Word. And I want to tell you, my friend, I'd rather have God's Word than anything this world can offer. Amen. You say, well, Brother Benny, you're not healed yet. No, and it's not over. Amen. You say, look like God would. I got to go again. I'm not looking for a cloud. I'm just going to go again. Go back down there and say, Lord, remember the word that you have gave me and caused me to hope in. Amen. By those stripes, we are healed. Amen. Sister Phyllis will never probably forget. That's when I was just at 35 or 36, and Sister Phyllis was in the hospital for kidney stone. I'll never forget as long as I live. I'll never forget it. She is getting ready to go, and they let her go relieve herself one last time before they put her in. And it never got put in. God brought her through. Me and Virgil were standing on the outside of the hall, and we knew she wasn't going to have to go. We knew it. Right then, we knew it. You know, it looked like this is it. But God don't have to have 3 or 4 weeks to do anything. He done it just like that. And it was all over. Amen? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Keep your head up, Brother Mike. Oh! Not over yet. Go again! Go again. Take right down to it. Get right down again. Say, Lord, I'm going to talk to you again about this situation. I'm going to talk to you again. Amen. Talk to him, my friend, the second time, third time, fourth time. I don't believe in that theology. He said, if you ask more than one time, it's unbelief. Unbelief is when you quit praying. Faith says, pray on. Faith says, walk on. Faith says, march on. Faith says, die if necessary. But die believing what you believe in. Woo! I usually don't run the back of the seats, but I feel much better than this. I'm going to try it. I mean to tell you, I'm feeling good. Feel this moving from the top of my head. Amen. My hair standing out on the top of my head. It's moving down and getting down on my legs. And I feel like every hair on my legs is standing out. And it's about to get down in my feet. Amen. I'm feeling the power of God. Don't you feel the presence of the Lord? Will you praise Him? Will you praise Him? Say, Lord, I want a promise. I'm going to ask you to give me a promise. I'm going to ask you to stand by me. Woo! Glory to God. Head on, I'm off.